Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Hey, hey, West Coast.
Hey, hey, East Coasters.
That's right. There's two Easters.
Two times the fun.
We got the whole damn crew here tonight, don't we, guys?
Yes, we do.
Episode 3 of probably the greatest podcast ever assembled. What We Watch When We Drink, and we're on all the basic podcast places, right? Where we watch us? Where can you listen to this?
We are not basic. We are premium. And we are available on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google or Google Play, something like that. Or you could listen on the blog, boozedancing.com.
Yeah, bingo. You can get us everywhere. Your ears will work.
And if you have any questions or comments for us, dear listeners, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to do a Q&A episode.
And so, don't forget to rate us on those podcast places.
Oh, yeah. Leave us a review.
And be nice, okay?
Or not. It's okay.
It'd be almost like being at home.
What did your mother say? If you don't have something nice to say,
come sit next to me.
Exactly.
That's a lie.
Bam! That would be. Well, the most important thing about this podcast is the drinking part, I think.
I think so, too.
What are we drinking tonight, guys? What's on our glasses?
What do you got, Mike?
I've got the Elijah Craig Small Batch.
Ooh, very nice.
Coming in at a soft 47%.
Oh, okay.
Lovely.
The fine folks at Heaven Hill have knocked another one out of the park.
Lovely. I have the Nika Coffee Grain Whiskey coming in at 45% ABV. It's delicious.
Very nice.
What you got there, Aaron?
I just poured the Westland American Oak, American Single Malt from Seattle. And, that smells good. And that's a 46%.
Very nice.
So, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Clink.
Cheers. And, Mike, welcome aboard.
All right, boys. So where we're going to start tonight is we're going to look back and see what we're actually watching or watched recently. And, Ange, I kind of sucked you into one show, and it's been garnering so many rave reviews. Why don't you talk about The Queen's Gambit a little bit?
Yes. The Queen's Gambit is good fun. The wife and I watched it on Netflix while we were away in North Carolina last weekend. It was a really, really good show. I mean, I was sucked in from the get-go. I mean, it's got it all going on. The acting is fantastic. The production design, the story is solid, everything. Really, really good show. So it's orphan girl. Her mom was like a math whiz, and she pretty much commits suicide by driving into a truck. And then the poor girl, Beth Harmon, played by Anya Taylor-Joy, goes to an orphanage. I guess it's like in the 50s.
Yep.
Develops a bit of a drug problem with tranquilizers, but also learns how to play chess thanks to the janitor who was played by, what was his name?
Bill Camp. We talked about that. Yeah, Bill Camp.
He was in The Night Of, yes.
Yeah, he was great in that.
He was one of the detectives.
Yep.
And so, you know, she becomes this chess whiz, and it kind of starts when she's like, what, 9 or 10?
Yeah, that's when she's learning the game, and then.
Have you been watching this, Mike?
She turns into a prodigy. No, I've seen the rundown, and it's on my list, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
It's really good, and I think as long as you don't have a problem with the drug stuff, it's really not that bad in terms of watching with the kids.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's family friendly.
Within reason.
1960s barbiturates are okay. All right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hold on one second. I'm having a mic issue here again. God damn it.
He's right there in front of you. Why would you say that?
And you always have the mic issue. My wife has that issue too.
Yeah. So, Bill Camp is her, I guess you can call her mentor. I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Right.
And then she takes it from there. You know, she starts winning the state championships and kicking everybody's ass. So it was an interesting show. The arc was interesting too. Cause like the first four episodes, you know, you're thinking this is going to get really heavy into the addiction and all that. But then the last two episodes kind of turns things around. And like some folks were saying, or what I've read,
I'm hearing a lot of background noise.
What is that?
I think that might be it. Stupid family. I don't know what they're doing in there.
What are they doing?
Building on a wing to the house.
I don't know. But anyway, the last two episodes, though, turned into almost like what? Like someone said, like almost like a Rocky story?
Yeah.
It was like the big fight with Borgoff in Moscow.
Yep.
It was really well done. And there was one scene, and I don't want to spoil it, but there was one scene in the finale. The way they shot that thing, like they panned the camera and everybody in the audience was out of focus. And then the camera comes in and it focuses in on her. You know, in one big panning shot, it was spectacular. It was just so well done.
Those chess scenes in Russia are just amazing. It's just, they're like arena of chess is just got people on the left side of the aisle and people on the audience on the right side of the aisle and all these chess boards in the middle and the big clock or the big scoreboard or the mm-hmm. where the chess pieces are moved around so people can see.
And then you got people outside that can't get in and they're watching.
And they're waiting for someone to come outside to tell them what move went where.
It was almost like, you know, in The Martian when they had everybody in like Times Square watching on the TV cameras when they're trying to get the, you know, when they're trying to hook the two up.
Yep.
It was like that. It was really, really, really well done. So Mike, if you haven't watched it, by all means, jump on it. It's good. And it's only 7 episodes. So it's not like it's not really a huge commitment.
No, and it moves pretty quick.
It does. It moves really, really well. The storytelling is great. The acting is fantastic. And I think it's pretty much from her perspective. Like you rarely see a scene without her.
Yeah. And like I said, I think in our episode 2, when we talked about it a little bit, I love the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
The look is just, they went crazy on making that play, making everything look of the era. Whether they're in Las Vegas at a hotel, the exteriors, the interiors, in the hotel rooms, in the little motels that her and her mom travel around in, to her house in Louisville, right? It's just, it brought back some really bad memories. a lot of good ones too. But the color and the vividness of some of the, even the costumes were great. When she gets into that 60s style of clothing, it's just, wow. They just went over the top, made it look great. And even when they go to Russia and the darkness and the grayness of the people there, and the people watching them playing chess is the costumes are just so great. The clothing is just so horribly communist in so many ways. They just really did a great job on that. It's a good 6-7 episode watch, I think. We give a thumbs up if we ever did that kind of thing.
Big thumbs up. So, Mike, if you haven't watched, by all means, jump in.
My thumbs aren't opposable. Can I still give thumbs up? I'm not really sure. It kind of falls at this point.
We're really beyond evolution here, so that's fine.
You could do one of these.
Can you raise the roof?
Can you raise the roof?
I can't do
Mandalorian. Mandalorian Episode 2 came out Friday night. We here watched it on Friday night, I believe. And or was it Saturday? Maybe it was Friday. And we another great episode. We liked it a lot. Really fun. It's just a fun show. I don't know how else to cap it. It's just a fun show.
But I'll tell you what they need: more Oliphant.
Yeah.
We need doesn't more need Oliphant. More Oliphant. Everyone needs Oliphant. He's the best.
I think he'll come back.
I think so.
I think he's the best. Especially, I'm guessing that episode has garnered a lot of acclaim and fandom from his being in it. I'm sure he'll come back. I think they'll go to the well one more time at least with him.
Oh, absolutely. They brought back Amy Sedaris. They got to bring back Oliphant.
Yeah.
Why would you not bring back Oliphant? He rocks everything he's in.
He's just spectacular.
He's never bad.
No.
I don't think I've ever seen him in anything bad.
So episode 2, which one was the Slaying the Dragon episode, right?
That was episode 1.
Episode 1, and episode 2 is the
Ice Spiders.
I mean, it doesn't really even matter what the bad thing is.
No.
because you're all, it's just this little journey within the episode that you're following.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And there's probably some larger arc going on. And some people might be critical, I think, of, oh, the arc's not visible enough yet.
Oh, screw the arc. That's what I said.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's Star Wars, right? But right. this, but there's enough, I think, Star Wars-y things going on for the nerdy Star Wars folks to, like, to be sucked in.
Yeah, sure.
If, even if sure. it's just Yoda. But, sure. but there's other Baby things, Yoda. Too. Baby Yoda and the speed and the land yeah. speeders and yeah. the sand people and the whatever it is. There's just enough of that stuff to make the nerd Star Wars guys happy, and then all the other stuff is like you said, Ange, it's a like a Western Saturday yeah, morning Western.
Yeah. Which is why Oliphant's so good, because he's Deadwood, right?
He is. Oh, he's Deadwood and he's Deadwood,
he's justified.
He's justified. Yeah.
He's fantastic in both.
I have to say that I've
if Margo Martindale could show up, right?
That would
she
be
showed
awesome.
Up, it'd be like there'd be a cherry on top, right?
She would,
that would be spectacular.
Spectacular. She'd be great. I watched two episodes with the better half and my daughter of The Good Lord Bird, starring what's that guy's name? Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke.
You mean the former Mr. Thurman?
The former Mr. Thurman. Yes.
How do you mess that up?
I don't know. Are they not married anymore? They're not married anymore, right?
No. I don't believe so.
I'm sure it was his fault, because it's always the guy's fault.
Absolutely, because we suck.
And it's the story of John Brown. It's a really strange way to tell a story, historically based. There's some folks in there you know. It's actually told from the point of view of one of the African-American kids who is actually a boy, but
right.
everyone believes he's a girl, so he and dresses as a girl the whole time because everyone thinks he's a girl, except a few people who know that he's a boy. It's very strange. And so it's actually very, there's a lot of lightheartedness to it. And I didn't know what to expect, and it's already sucked me in, and my daughter too.
Is that the show? It's got a David Diggs, right? The guy was in Hamilton. He plays. Yes.
I don't think he's. Yes,
plays
I think he's,
plays yeah, Frederick I, Douglass.
Yes, he comes right. in. I think right. it's episode three.
But
or
he's
four.
Not. He's not there yet. But he's going to be in. There,
yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think that was the reason my daughter wanted yeah. to watch. I would. So after two episodes, I would say it's well done. But that. Big expansive sort of film, and you know, of America pre or post Civil War.
Yeah,
that sucks me in every time. The last thing I had on our little list of things that we're kind of watching and kind of getting through is, and you had suggested that You're the Worst on Hulu.
Yeah, I finished it while I was away,
and I'm just started season four.
And
gosh, it's a good show. It's really good.
It's filthy too.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. There's that.
It's well. A fun show.
And it's funny because you are the worst, Ange. You are the worst.
He is the worst. I'm
if I could be the king of the worst, I would be.
Good.
Hiya Cash is fantastic on the show.
I think the four leads are uh-huh. fantastic.
But she's got the most. Well, you think she's got like, the most range in terms of emotions for the character?
When she can do these facial expressions that are just, they just knock me out. It's just an eye raise, a smirk, and oh my God, it just, if I was the guy on the other side of that, it would just be putting me on the floor. It would just like, she could send daggers or not. And the dialogue is great that she spews.
And she takes that and then goes into The Boys and she's Storefront. Which is just amazing. Like, she's really versatile in what she's able to put together.
Yeah, as I said to Ange before.
Yeah.
How does this show that's been on for five seasons get totally past me? Yeah. It tells you how many shows there are.
Yeah, there's so many shows.
Oh, my God. And this was, like, so good.
And the best part is when there's five seasons already out there, you binge watch. You don't have to watch anything else. You can finish it all.
It's been actually.
That's great.
It's been killing my other TV watching because that's all I've been kind of like going through.
Oh, that was me last week. I'm like, all right, I got to get this done. I have to finish this. But the final season is really good.
So, how's our drinks going, boys?
Drinks are good. I think I'm on my second or third pour of this. I like this Nika. They make a damn fine whiskey.
Nika's good.
They are.
Nika's good. I want to try the gin. They have a gin now.
Oh, yeah. I would like to try that. We have to get in with the importers.
The Nika from the barrel. In a little weird box.
I got a bottle.
Yeah. It's so nice. It's the 500. It's square, and it's in a little box.
The little origami box.
That's so nice.
Yeah, when it came out to the States, 2 years ago, I think?
Mm-hmm.
I got a bottle, and it's lovely. And it's 54%, I think. It's a big number.
It is.
Yep.
Oh, and speaking about stuff that you're stuck doing, I had to go to a baseball tournament last weekend up in lovely Flemington, New Jersey.
Oh, Flemington. Did you buy a coat?
And it's one of these, you drop the kid off, and then you have an hour to kill before the game starts. What am I to do?
Bar.
Oh, a liquor store. There's a liquor store. I went over there. Probably the best whiskey selection I've ever seen in any bar.
Where did you go?
Up in Flemington. This place up in Flemington. Probably the best whiskey selection I've ever seen. American, Japanese, Irish, Scotch. You name it, they got it. It was fantastic. They had the entire Game of Thrones series from Diageo, except the Morlock. They had Nika. They had four different Nikas. Well, you can't find Nika anywhere. They had four. It was crazy. And they probably had 30 feet of bourbon.
Wow. What's the name of the store?
Wow. I couldn't tell you.
Let's see.
It was fantastic.
Was it Little Brothers Beverage Outlet?
No.
Central Wine Merchants?
We don't need to throw their name out. They're not endorsing us.
I don't care. Maybe they know.
I don't know who they are.
It was Raritan Wine and Spirits.
It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable.
This is sadly, Pennsylvania.
New Jersey. But sadly, I made a significant purchase from the Scotch Whiskey Society, so I was unable to make any more purchases.
It was your governor.
When the credit card bill came due, I think more things would have come due. Always comes due.
It's fun to find a shop that you haven't shopped at before, and you go, why is that? What?
It was shocking.
That's great.
Shocking how much stuff they had. And it was almost like it stumped the band where I went, oh, they don't have Glen Scotia. Turn around. Oh, there's Glen Scotia. You don't have any Glendronic. Turn around. Oh, there's the Glendronic.
You weren't in the G section. You just didn't turn around.
Oh, no, they just had the bottles in different spots. And I was like, wow, it was really well done.
Well, one of the reasons we wanted to get together tonight, too, now that all three of us are here, was because we are children of the 60s and 70s. I speak for myself.
I got the 70s and the 80s.
And I thought it'd be kind of fun. We thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about where we came from as TV viewers,
You mean like black and white sets and seven channels?
Black and white sets, seven channels. So where did we start this nuttiness that's kind of like, and we're not much different than everybody else, but it encompasses our lives in a lot of ways, right? Our best friend when you're little is your TV.
Absolutely.
And ultimately becomes your best friend when you get older, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does. Sure.
Right?
And you had your Saturday morning cartoons, Sid Marty Croft, running out all that H&R Puppet stuff, that weird, surreal, I'm thinking they were on a drug trip kind of thing.
Hey, here's the question. Were you puffing stuff when you were watching
Puffin? Which I didn't get at the time, but now I'm thinking maybe these guys had something going on.
Hey, didn't we legalize that stuff in New Jersey?
We just did.
Now you can partake and it's not illegal anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
Still not part of my work regime, though. They've told us it may be legal in your state, but no.
Yeah,
I'm not interested either. I'd rather have the whiskey. That's just me.
So what did
totally.
When you guys were little, did your parents have? Did you have TVs when you were little?
Lots.
That's
TVs.
A silly question, but maybe you might not.
Lots of TVs.
Black
lots
and white, magnifying.
We had a 13-inch black and white in the kitchen. Angelo knows this place, Palumbo's. So Palumbo's was a nightclub in South Philly.
That's the one that burned down.
And my credit union used to go and give you a ticket to Palumbo's if you voted in their election. So my parents would go and they'd say, everyone come and vote as a member of the credit union. And they'd give the tickets to their friends and they'll go out. Well, one year we wound up with extra tickets and I got to go. And I won the door prize, which was a television.
Oh, ooh, very nice.
And I won. And my dad was like, well, go up and get it. You won. And it was like, I'm going to say it was probably like a 20-inch color television, which at the time was, well, it's 20 inches in color. It's huge. It did not go in my room. I did not get that television, even though I won.
Are you going off? Are you going all Louis K. Black on us?
So yeah, we had TVs all over the place. We, you know, my dad was a big believer in television, and you just had a bedtime, and the TV went off.
We had one. As I remember, when I was little, we just had one TV. It was a Zenith. In some wooden console.
Yeah.
Black and white.
It was furniture. It wasn't a TV. It was furniture.
And I distinctly remember so well was all those vacuum tube TVs.
Yep.
And going down with my dad to the drugstore when one night when one of the tubes goes out.
Yep. Get a new tube.
Go down and go to the little tube kiosk at we had a drugstore here called Thrifty Drugstore, and they had a little kiosk where you would match up the tube to find the one you needed and go back and put it in so that you could watch TV. But you never, I remember my dad saying, but if the picture tube goes, we're done. No more TV. No more, that's done. And we're not buying another one, of course.
That's funny.
And for us, if it exceeded your capacity to figure out the tube, McCloy's was around the corner. And you call McCloy's TV repair. They'd come out, the guy would fix whatever was wrong with your TV.
Could you imagine today if they had still TVs that you actually could fix yourself?
So I was driving by my parents' house not that long ago. McCloy's is still in business, and they've converted from TV repair to converting your DVD, any amount of DVD to CDs.
Oh, burning stuff, yeah.
And going to computer work and doing other stuff. They've completely transitioned with the technology. But they also say they'll fix TVs. So if you had like some vintage television,
you're good. My grandparents, I remember, had a one of those console TVs too, and it was color. So when we went to grandma and grandpa's house.
Oh, it's color TV. Oh.
Although we always ended up watching black and white TV shows. But I remember it had a remote control. We'd go to grandma's for some family event or hang out, and time to go home. Someone would get out their car keys, and they, shake their car keys, and the TV would go off. It was something with the radio frequency. Oh, man.
My uncle had a TV with a clicker, and it actually just moved the dial.
Really?
The channels on the television. Wow. And it was wired. So you push a button, and you would just go click. Huh. It was a click, and it clicked, and the TV clicked. And it just went... 3, 4, 5, 6.
Funny.
Oh, another channel. 7, 8.
How many channels did you guys have on VHS?
6. Well, we had 6.
Yeah. Well, we had 3, 6, 10, 12 on the VHF.
Yeah.
And you had the UHF.
17, 29, 48.
Right. And then 57 came along later. And if you had good reception, you can get 23.
Which was the other the companion, 12. Which was the PBS, the other PBS station.
That was the Jersey channel, though, wasn't it?
The Jersey PBS. Yeah.
Right.
We had 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and 13. So three of those were network, and the others were all local channels. And channel 5 here, KTLA, and channel 11, they were the, they're like the old, two of the oldest channels in the country. And that's where all these, famous people came out of from doing like some morning show or some kid show, and then they became Johnny Carson or someone. We didn't get a color TV until we moved into a larger house, and it was another big console TV. And I don't think I got a TV in my room until late high school days. I don't remember when it was.
And, I think I had one in my room, maybe because I had the old console, the old black and white console, and it went in my room. And I think that was probably grade school because I vaguely remember. Remember Fridays?
Yeah.
I remember staying up till
like Kramer. Kramer was on Fridays, right?
Right. Yep. It was Larry David and
Michael Richards.
Yeah. Michael Richards. And I remember staying up after that because remember ABC? It was on ABC.
ABC and
the local ABC would always do like the $1 million movie on Friday nights. So Fridays came on after the $1 million movie. So it was like 1 o'clock in the morning when that thing would come on. And I remember watching like the old Saturday Night Lives with, you know, Bill Murray and John Belushi and everybody.
Belushi?
Yeah, I would watch all those like in the '70s and it was, you know, I'd stay up.
And all the second seat television, Monty Python, whatever came across the BBC.
Don't forget Benny Hill.
Well, I just found out that if you watched Frasier, Jane leaves.
Yeah.
She was Daphne on the show. She was one of the Benny Hill girls.
Oh, really?
That's how she got started. I'm like, now I need to see Benny Hill again.
My God.
That's funny.
I'm sure you get on YouTube.
Jane leaves as a young person.
That's really funny. When I was an eighth grader? Yeah, eighth grader. Had this first day of class. Government class world history, and the teacher was going around. You had to introduce yourself and what do you do? What do you like? What's your favorite TV show? Whatever. Came to me and I said, I really like the Tomorrow Show, but I also like the Tonight Show a lot too. And
you're watching Tom Snyder.
The teacher's up until 1:30 in the morning. Phone call to my parents. Your son is up until 1:30 in the morning. That was me. I was just a late night. I was like totally into late night TV and Carson and then Letterman ultimately. But and this was all pre-cable, right?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I grew up in South Philadelphia and cable was there. It was like the Mason-Dixon line. If you were west of Broad Street, you were able to get cable. If you were east of Broad Street, there was no cable. So my parents didn't get cable till 1990, maybe.
Northeast Philly was the same way. It was a group in Northeast Philly, and it was one of these things. A bar could get it, so they could show ESPN and show the fights.
Right.
But you couldn't get anything because they couldn't figure out how to divvy up the lots to pay off enough people to get cable. Because it was all I want the rights. What are you going to give me for it? You know, the pay for play kind of stuff. And they just couldn't get it done. And then finally, the city was like, we're ridiculous. We're like some backwater town at this point. We don't have cable everywhere. Three of the cable companies went out of business. Because you have Comcast or Xfinity or whatever. You had like Bill's Cable Emporium.
Yeah.
Because I paid more to the mayor's committee to go and get my rights. And like, yeah, we got to fix this.
We didn't have... I think cable started here late 70s, early 80s. And I remember my next door neighbor had this thing called On TV, ONTV.
Yeah.
And that was like the first, one of the first small cable companies that
hit. And it was like three hours a day you can get something?
I remember that there was there were Dodger games on there, I think, for some reason. But there was other stuff. But they got hit over the head pretty hard when HBO came out and they couldn't
afford. You mean Home Box Office?
Home Box Office Entertainment.
Home Box Office.
And that was the death of the small cable companies. It took a few years. I don't even remember the first cable company I want to say Time Warner, but I'm not.
Yeah. Sure. Out there is probably what it was.
It was a weird jump from going from like seven or eight channels to, 50 channels or whatever it was in the beginning.
50 channels of crap you can't find anything to watch on.
That's right. Atlanta Braves baseball. That was about it, right?
That was the big thing about sports.
It was about getting sports. It was about getting sports.
It was sports and old movies.
Old movies, sports, and CNN. It was all. It was about Ted Turner, really.
And late at night, some skin eggs, if you were lucky.
Well, speaking of that, we had this thing called WHT, It was really strange. Like there was like a add-on antenna added to the roof antenna at my parents' house. And then there was a little tiny box on top of your TV, and it had like, I guess basically an on-off switch. And it would only come on from like 7 to midnight. And then after midnight, it was, you know, basically, you know, soft porn. But it was all scrambled because they weren't paying for that package.
I had a cousin back in the 70s, and he lived out in the Palm Springs area. And he had one of those huge, huge satellite dishes in his backyard. Yeah. Huge, right? And he had like Mexico, Canada, Japanese TV. So how are you getting all this? And he said, you know, I know a guy basically. And I, you know, if you want one of these things in your backyard, I can get you set up. No problem. And I mean, there's like a card or a disc that goes in here, and you get all the channels you want from the whole world. So what were your cartoons when you watched when you were kids?
Oh, every Saturday morning was the, the Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes was big. That stuff.
The Tom and Jerry Great Big Show.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then the Mighty Heroes.
The Mighty Heroes.
The Wacky Races.
The Really Rottens.
Yeah. Now, did you get all the bad Japanese shows?
Ultraman.
Ultraman.
I have to admit, I loved Space Giants. I was terrified of Ultraman. Yeah. I would run screaming for the room when Ultraman came on.
It was the three. It was Johnny Sacco and his flying robot.
Johnny Sacco and the flying robot is fine.
It was Ultraman, Space Giants, and Ultraman.
Very scary. I'm a little bit scared still to this day.
I was scared of? Rodak.
What's good?
Rodak kind of scared me a little bit on Space Giants.
Did you guys?
And it was Goldar, Silvar. What was the kid's name?
I don't know.
And then the old guy was Methuselah.
Which made no sense because it's Goldar and Silvar. Why are you Methuselah?
Well, he's the guy with the big stick.
Yeah, but you're not Methuselar. You're Methuselah.
I remember the kind of anime Japanese shows all after school.
There were a good bit of those, too. There was
Speed Racer.
That was right there. It was after school. It wasn't a Saturday morning. It was an after school one.
Spraydol, Chim Chim, out of the Mach 5.
Don't forget Trixie.
Trixie.
Who was the mechanic?
Pop was the other guy.
There was a mechanic.
He was a group chief. You're right. Yeah.
Who was the other guy though? There was another guy. I can't remember his name.
No. Not Racer X.
No, it wasn't Racer X. Racer X, Speed's older brother, Racer X, who doesn't know he's Racer X. That was great.
Don't spoil
it. What are you doing? You ruined it.
You know, actually. I always thought they should really do like a really dark Speed Racer movie. I pictured Johnny Depp as Speed Racer, and I don't really like Johnny Depp. But then, you know, like right around like 21 Jump Street. And then who was the guy? And I can't think of who would have been. You know who would have been a good Racer X? Like Willem Dafoe or somebody. Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe would be great in anything.
The movie was, you know, it's funny you say that because the movie was not, it was dark-ish, not dark. And I kind of thought it was going to be a darker.
It was Emil Hirsch.
Emil Hirsch.
Right. Yeah.
It was kind of fun, but it wasn't what I wanted. It was.
You're rooting for a crash.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're waiting for pushing G. Yeah.
Oh, you know who would have been good as Trixie? Sherilyn Fenn. If they made this like 20 years ago.
Trixie. Yes.
She would have been a good Trixie. Because that was a show. Speaking of TV shows. Like, okay, so the 70s was a lot of mostly sitcoms, cop shows.
And jiggle shows. There was a lot of jiggle shows.
TNA. Three's Company. Charlie's Angels.
TJ Hooker.
Right. Battle of the Stars.
Battle of the Stars.
The Heathers. The Heathers. Thomas Locklear. They were both pretty good.
No, I used to watch Three's Company. I'd watch WKRP in Cincinnati.
You know what we need is more rock and less Nessman.
The turkeys, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. Johnny Fever. And Venus Flytrap.
Oh, Tim Reed. That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what else was there? Other good shows. I mean, there was all the classics. You know, MASH.
And Mary Tyler Moore. All in the Family. Yeah.
What else was there back then?
You had Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah.
I miss the variety shows.
Welcome Back, Cotter.
Welcome back, Connor.
Oh, my Connor. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of variety shows, you know that Pluto TV?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
We have it on our cable system, and I kind of bounce in there once in a while. What's on there?
I was scoping around today. They had the Carol Burnett Show.
That's on WeTV.
Oh, okay.
It's on WeTV too.
They had, but I think it was like a channel, just Carol Burnett.
WeTV.
They had Carol Burnett. They had Tonight Show. I saw Jonathan Winters and Robin Williams.
I keep forgetting we have that damn thing.
The best thing with the Carol Burnett Show is you just watch.
Oh, when they're gonna start laughing.
Just to see somebody break. Somebody comes out and Harvey Korman wets himself. He just can't stop.
And Tim Conway, he's gonna crack
Tim Conway, Harvey Korman going, it just be like, oh God, that's just insane.
Mr. Tugball and Mrs. Higgins.
That was a great
show. I remember seeing Carol Burnett show up on stuff once in a while now.
Uh-huh.
She's somebody's mom or grandmother.
You know, it's so funny to hear her talk about the show because she says, you know, you couldn't get it done today. Not for lack of talent, but the network would never okay. No. She's like, you know, we were on for 9 years, 10 years, whatever. She's like, Bob Mackie made like 2,000 costumes.
Yeah.
You couldn't afford that today. No. You just couldn't afford we're going to have this costume budget. No, you're not doing that. No. Not going to happen.
The sitcoms of that era, maybe a little before the 70s, I guess 60s, maybe 70s too. Definitely the 60s. It was like school. It was like the school year, right? It was 39 episodes of television, 13 weeks off because you were at, you know, it was summertime, and then 39 episodes of Green Acres or Beverly Hillbillies or whatever it was.
And your 13 weeks of the summer weren't just crappy reruns we show again. It was, you know, a variety show for the summer, the Mac Davis Show,
Smothers Brothers,
Sonny and Cher, Smothers Brothers. It was an actual show. Okay, we filled 39 episodes, and now we're going to actually do more, but with someone different.
And now we're like craving for 3 episodes of Breaking Bad in the new season. It's nuts.
This month, can I see 3 episodes before they go on hiatus?
But in the modern era's defense, you know, the production values are a lot higher.
Oh yeah.
I think the quality of the writing is a lot higher. Just all of it is just better.
So you think about where TV came out of radio, right? And initially it came out of a lot of the entertainment was either game shows or the nighttime drama shows.
Right, the serials. Yeah.
Serials. Perry Mason.
Yeah, the serials. Right?
So when they got to TV and they a lot of that, not the game shows so much, but the serials didn't, you know, they became basically the morning soap operas.
Yeah.
That didn't convert real well.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of put out, you needed content. It's something like now in that way. You needed content. And what could you do cheaply with sitcoms, right?
Yeah.
Or backlot stuff like, you know, Westerns. But you could do them, I think, relatively cheaply back then so that you could bang out. And I don't know that they were thinking this, but yeah, no one watches TV in the summertime. Let's do 39 episodes of a show every week. No stopping.
Well, that was the Desi Lou production. That was their thing. You know, here's what we're going to run out. We're going to run I Love Lucy. It was a radio show. We're going to run it out. We're going to keep cranking these out. And it's I Love Lucy, the Lucy show, you know, this, that, and the other. Keep cranking it. 30 years of Lucy.
It was all, you know, there wasn't, looking back, I love watching a lot of that old stuff once in a while. And a lot of it still just kills me. But a lot of it's kind of schlocky, you know, especially in the 70s. Yeah. It's not, the acting isn't great. The humor is up and down. It's not, I think there's some things that hold up and some things don't hold up great. The ones that I think that are, for me, I like the ones that were always kind of farther out off the road.
The beaten path,
you know,
off
like,
the rails, a little like off the rails.
F. Yeah, like F or Green Acres. They were out there. You know, like somebody was doing LSD to make right in those shows.
What about like Get Smart?
Get Smart was an outlier for its era, but I don't think it was. Mel Brooks wasn't, you know, high making those things.
And Buck Henry coming up with
and
a good
Buck
idea.
Henry, right? Yeah. That was an amazing show. It was spoofing so many things that were hot at the time.
The shoe phone, come on, that's not like the funniest thing that was.
So what was the 80s about? The 80s were like, what was, when are we?
The 80s was, you know, Miami Vice, L.A. Law.
Oh,
you know,
right,
you're
right.
Cranking
right.
out, yeah. like that kind of stuff.
What so about Cosby Air Show?
Airwolf, Cosby Show.
A lot of that stuff, the production values were getting higher, right? Yeah. Miami Vice was
and,
like
this. And as the production values go up, the number of episodes goes down because we can't afford 39, now we're 26. Half a year reruns, 52, we're done. Yeah.
It was very different. The change was coming in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you guys were Letterman people, I assume, right?
I saw Letterman daytime.
Yeah, me too.
That's when I started watching it.
Yeah,
and then nighttime, if you ever saw, if you ever got an opportunity to see the old Steve Allen shows when he was running Tonight Show, he was
old are you again?
He's 74.
Shut it, Sally. I saw them in reruns, not first run.
Sure you did.
I saw the original Kinescopes.
Shut me it,
and
Sally.
Me and Milton Berle watched them together.
But Johnny Carson was a great interviewer. It was his show. Letterman was more like the Steve Allen, man on the street, crazy stuff going on, and just a whole different kind of show, which I really enjoyed when he was after Carson.
Yep.
When he was up against Leno, it kind of lost a little bit because he became more of a Johnny Carson than he was a David Letterman at that point.
Well, I think for Dave, it became a real ratings.
Yeah, it was a battle thing.
Yeah, it ate him up. But
speaking of that, did you ever see that movie that they did on HBO?
Yeah,
oh, it was all
that. That was really good. I thought
that was crazy.
Did you read the book?
No, but I didn't.
It's based on a book. And,
but John Michael Higgins was fantastic as Letterman.
As Letterman, yeah.
He was great. He's really good.
But Leno came off so bad in that.
Uh-huh, he did.
Where you're just like, but if that actually is how Jay Leno is, wow, what a douche. He's not a good guy.
No, that was a weird soap opera there at NBC. It was not pretty. It didn't end. It was so poorly managed and mangled. It was just a disaster. And
it wasn't managed is what the problem was.
So were you guys news junkies too? Because I was a news junkie.
No, I'm not a news.
Peter Jennings.
Well, that's true. We did watch ABC at home.
Peter Jennings.
Oh, I remember watching Cronkite during the war. I mean,
how old are you? 95.
You.
Well, and we're our Murrow, right? You watched.
Murrow, and we're our Murrow. Okay. Yeah, sure. Shows. Yes. No, I.
He looks really good.
Hey, let me ask you something. When they broadcast War of the Worlds over radio, did you think it was a real story?
No. That was in New Jersey.
When they went with talkies, were you fascinated when they came out with talkies?
I said it would never last.
Were you?
I said this is crazy. This is crazy talk. Talking
color movies. It's not bad.
Who's gonna watch this? This is silly.
They call that the good old days.
People want to read. People want to read what they're watching on big screen. You know, they want to read the words.
You know, I don't know about that, but I actually have a 1931 Philco in the basement. So, you know, I have and only AM radio. I actually got it fixed so it works. I can listen to the Phillies games if I want.
Nah,
me too. I'm the same way.
Big cabinet.
I was a huge news junkie. So I watched the nightly news, at the time, whoever was on the three networks. And then when CNN came, forget it. That was, and we just went through this whole.
Bernard Shaw.
Yeah.
He was, oh.
He was great.
Well, you wouldn't want to get news from that guy. He was fantastic.
When I was a political junkie, and when it came to, every 2 to 4 years for the election night was, I almost didn't care last week to watch. Back then, I can't get home from wherever, school, work, wherever, fast enough to just sit up all night, flipping channels, watching all this stuff. And now it's different. It's not the same. And they were the characters that were running it, Dan Rather and Mike Wallace and whoever those faces, John Chancellor.
It's almost like there's too many people doing it now who just don't have the same gravitas.
And they're also
where you're watching like, who cares? Yeah.
Well, they're kind of faceless too. You know, they're not, there's no, we're even past the the Jane Pauley era, right? We don't even have those people anymore.
Well, I mean, part of the problem is too, it's a 24-hour news cycle now.
It is.
And everything is overkill.
Yeah.
Especially if there's a big story, whether it be the last election or Corona, or, you know, if there's a big storm coming.
It's the advent of cable TV.
And forever, it was unbiased.
Right.
Right.
And now you can't not find the bias in everything they do. Correct. Whether they say they're we're unbiased. No, no, you're just not. And it's not the right or the left. They're both, you know, it's so biased. You're just like, you can't put a shirt on without somebody going saying, "Do you believe the shirt the guy was? That's crazy, the shirt the guy was wearing." And then the other person says, "That's the best shirt America has ever made. Yeah. Thank God he wore that shirt. What a patriot. That's the best shirt ever." It's a shirt. Who cares?
I was exposed to
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know.
Hopefully it all comes out well for you. There's a vaccine. There's a vaccine in this
spring. Hey now.
Best of luck.
My family, we never went to movies. Going to the movies was like this luxury.
See, that was my thing with my dad.
When I was young, I had an aunt that would take us to movies. So the TV was our movie theater. That's where I was exposed. That's where I saw the Marx Brothers for the first time. Disney movies that came on the Wild World. Was that Sunday night Disney thing?
Wild World of Disney, right?
Yep.
Wonderful World of Disney.
After Marlon Perkins, Mutual Wild Kingdom.
I didn't see those big blockbusters, whatever they were, blockbusters back then. TV was my movie theater, and that's how I fell in love with the Three Stooges and the Marx Brothers and all those things. It took a long time for me to actually start going to movies, probably in the 70s, I'd say.
Some of the like the Lon Chaney's Bela Lugosi's, some of that stuff, because that made its run on TV, and you're just like,
"Yep,
I never saw these horrible."
Movies. Hey, Mike, do you mean like Dr. Shock?
Dr. Shock, ooh, scary!
Ooh, so scary! Was our Count Floyd?
You guys know Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Elvira.
Elvira hosted a show for years.
I do.
Of course, you do. Elvira, she started out here on Channel 9, that's how you found out, that's how you knew about horror movies, right? Or she did the Saturday afternoon horror movie show, and that's where we saw that. Granted, those were all old movies, but you never saw those things.
But to you, it was new. Yeah, it was the first time.
It was totally new. I remember seeing my first Marx Brothers movie at my grandmother's house on that TV that would fritz off when somebody rattled their keys.
Nope.
And I was, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm in heaven. I cannot believe this. This is a thing. What the hell? And that was like a major turning point for me, was seeing that first Marx Brothers movie.
And for us, the Stooges, the repartee, the little shorts that they clip two together, you could watch two in half an hour or something. And just to see the banter, to see the setups, to see where he's headed next. It was like watching that, like almost like a comedy, like class, to see what was going to happen next with those Ted Haley shorts. They were tremendous. They really were.
After school, I remember they were Three Stooges and the Keystone Cops and Little Rascals were on.
Little Rascals? So
we get home and we watched that. It's weird. Now you think about it. It was so nonsensical. It didn't make any sense to. It shouldn't make any sense to a little kid. Yeah. But it was so goddamn entertaining.
Yeah.
It was so.
For us, it was the Wee Willie Webber show.
Wee Willie Webber.
Willie Webber. And he showed this stuff on a screen for the viewers at home. And if you were lucky enough to go there, you were in the peanut gallery, and you got to watch the show in person. And they do like a Popeye cartoon, the Three Stooges, maybe something else. Yeah. It was, you know, the whole variety. Around the country, everyone had their own guy, but Wee Willie Webber was a local guy here, and it was really something.
So the 80s and 90s for my family was a big change, because all of a sudden everyone had TVs in the house. All of a sudden, then there was no and black and white went away. It was sort of weird. I remember having like two or three little black and white TVs, and then they just sort of all of a sudden we had all these color TVs. Not great TVs, but they were getting bigger and they're heavier. It was like this massive change. And my family had a house, a second house in the 70s out towards Palm Springs, like a weekend house. And when we, it was like going backwards in time because we had cable at home, at our everyday home. But on the weekends, we didn't have cable. We had to watch on a little black and white TV that had Palm Springs stations, which were like, there were two of them. It was like going literally backwards. You got to watch ABC and NBC and CBS. And not only there might have been a UHF channel. And it was on a black and white TV. It was going backwards. It was so weird. Very strange. And watching Desert News instead of LA News.
Yeah. No, it was, Wee Willie Weber, Captain Noah. There was all this local stuff. It was crazy.
After all, the Captain Noah was Saturday mornings.
Yep. Dr. Shock, Chief Halftown, Sally Star.
Chief Halftown.
All kinds of wacky local.
Did you have Hobo Kelly? I think every market had Hobo Kelly.
I don't think we had Hobo Kelly.
It's like a clown who, woman who did cartoons and stuff.
John Wayne Gacy?
No, please.
Not John Wayne Gacy?
No.
Did you have Wonderama?
I don't know what that is.
It was a Sunday morning show. I don't know what that is. A bunch of kids and a host. And
Then we had the PBS shows. Then there was Zoom. Electric Company.
Gene London?
Oh, yeah. Gene London.
Gene London?
He was local too, wasn't he?
Local guy here?
We had a lot of weird stuff. But the 70s.
The New Zoo Review?
Oh, yeah. With Henrietta Hippo?
Coming right at you.
Freddy the Frog, all that good stuff. We had a lot of weird stuff. The 70s was a lot of that. It was some PBS stuff. It was all whatever I can get of those seven channels.
Cable changed everything, right? All of a sudden you had this explosion.
For those that had it.
Well, ultimately, though, maybe not initially, but you all of a sudden had an option and other options. Maybe not like regular primetime programming, but you had other options on the weekends during the day, definitely more sports. And now, of course, it's a whole different ball game. I mean,
and yet you had access to a whole variety of like 60s and 70s stuff that was now licensed to cable.
Yeah.
So you could see a bunch of old run of stuff that you couldn't see because it was only on your regular television.
Yes, you could see Adam's Family, and you could see the Flintstones.
Yeah, we'll run out somewhere else. Yeah.
It was easier to find that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember I was a big Adam's Family fan, huge. That was in my wheelhouse of weird stuff, right? And I would actually still have them, I think. I had recorded them on VHS because I thought at some point you won't be able to get this stuff.
Hey, guess what? Pluto TV.
Yeah.
And Prime.
And then I bought it, and that's why I had like a dozen of these tapes with all these Green Acres and Adam's Family episodes, and I had them all labeled and cataloged, and then you could get them on DVD and probably on picture disc or whatever those discs were called. And now just stream them; they're all available.
Did you do all this to keep the voices in your head quiet? I'm just wondering.
I did. That was the goal, but it didn't help.
Did you hear the dog tell you to do these things? I'm just wondering.
I remember not watching a whole lot of TV, though, like when I was in college. So I guess like mid-80s to like early 90s, I didn't watch a lot. There were like a couple shows that came on, like, you know, like Cheers and maybe...
The must-see TV stuff.
Yeah, I didn't watch Friends. So I watched
Because you didn't have any? You had no friends.
Well, that's true.
No.
The problem was I was going to school at night after work when Friends was hot, so I didn't get home till 9 o'clock. So I caught the second half of must see TV. Seinfeld came on and whatever came on after Seinfeld.
Yep.
In college, I would record Letterman every night and then watch it in the morning the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So because I couldn't stay up that late because of school, or night classes or something. So that's how I stayed on top of Letterman. I At some point, I gave up on Carson, I think. I was kind of bouncing around with Carson. I didn't care. Letterman was my thing. But Carson was the thing. I remember getting into soap operas.
Oh, yeah. When?
General Hospital.
The 80s?
Oh, General Hospital.
Much Scorpio. Scorpio.
Oh, yeah.
Jeannie Francis.
The Cassadines.
Ryan's Hope. You remember Ryan's Hope?
I didn't watch that.
And there was one called Santa Barbara. And,
yeah, I didn't watch that either.
It was an NBC one, and it was a big deal here because this girl that went to our elementary school,
was in it.
It was called Santa Barbara. It was in Santa Barbara. So I remember watching in college. Everyone would gather around in the student union at lunchtime and watch All My Children. It was on it.
Oh, that's funny.
I was on it new. I think.
College, I didn't watch so much TV. Then, like 1990, that's when Twin Peaks came out, and I got obsessed with that for a couple years.
Yeah.
So that was really good fun.
That was
a great show.
He's a weird guy.
He is.
I was watching TV tonight before we came on, and I saw an ad commercial for a show coming on ABC called Big Sky.
Oh, I think I heard about this.
It looks like a Twin Peaks ripoff.
That's the Pretty Little Liars people, right?
Yes, and it looks like a Twin Peaks. There's a weird cop, and there's a death, and it's a small town, and a mountain town.
Uh-huh. I think that's David Kelly, right?
That sounds right.
David E. Kelly. Sorry.
That sounds about right. But Twin Peaks, they did the return like a year ago or 2 years ago on Showtime.
I gotta watch that.
It was so bizarre, but it was so good.
My niece worked on that. She's
I know she was production assistant, right?
Yeah, she's somehow connected with David Lynch.
She was his assistant, right?
She worked as a production. I don't know what that means, but she worked as a production assistant. I don't know if that just means my coffee's not hot enough. Make it hot. I don't know what it is, but she knows David Lynch.
I love those little turning points in TV history from a show or shows where things got weird.
Mm-hmm.
Twin Peaks.
Gilligan's Island. That place went nuts. It went totally nuts.
NYPD Blue.
Yeah, I think that was a changer.
That kind of changed things a lot.
Lost changed things a lot. And
The Sopranos, I mean, that was all peak TV when that started, right? That
pretty much kicked it
off. Even cable too, but Max Headroom.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Where they were so kind of out there, and even some of the space stuff, they were not normal, regular TV, and it was, oh, wow, TV can be something different.
The worst part about NYPD Blue, you get to see Sipowicz. A side of Sipowicz you don't want to see.
Yeah,
you mean
and that paved the way for someone else that ruined Boardwalk Empire for me.
Oh, Steve Buscemi.
When your first episode leads with Steve Buscemi and his posterior, thank you. Good day, sir. I'm gone. Dennis Franz, I don't need to ever see that. I can't unsee that.
It was funny how TV shows had that. Like the 70s was all those for nighttime drama. The cop show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it was Mannix and
Beretta.
They're all the detective one-name show guys, right?
Starsky and
Hutch. Kojak.
Starsky and Kojak.
Yeah, right? McCloud. They were
Hawaii 5-0. Look
Rockford
down.
Files. Don't forget the Rockford Files.
TV is such a, like a lot of industries, somebody gets hot with something, we all copy it. Yeah. We all copy it. And then the medical dramas were a big deal. And then the law dramas were a big deal.
I'm still deep into Grey's Anatomy with my wife.
Grey's Anatomy.
They're huge fans.
I had never watched an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
And the original Grey's Anatomy, the show's matured. At this point in time, it's taking you on top things, and they've gone and took the first five people that were stars of the show, and now only one's left. They moved the whole cast over, turned everybody over. It's amazing to see. You're 16 years in, and no one from year one's left.
We used to joke about the longest running show was always Gunsmoke, right? And now you got
and everyone from the Gunsmoke cast stayed except Dennis Weaver. Everyone else kept going, you know. Where now you're like, no, I'm on to the next thing.
But the shows now, like what Law and Order and is that still on? And NCIS,
so. SVU.
Those special NCIS things.
NCIS is still on.
I cannot
16, 17 years. Yeah.
It's amazing. And I don't know how long was that Gunsmoke on? 20 something?
That it made 20. And that was like the bellwether.
Yeah.
And now everyone's approaching that again.
Oh, because the Simpsons passed it, right? I think Simpsons.
No, they're at like 30.
Simpsons like is 30, yeah.
Yeah, because Simpsons was like the first big show.
I think the only
Fox started.
Yep.
The only show that's past the Simpsons is I think Meet the Press is still on.
Oh, it might be 60 Minutes.
But everything else,
probably Meet the Press.
Everything else, they're at like 30, 33, whatever it is, and it's made people that you bit players on TV shows, multi-millionaires, being as voice actors on the show, like Hank Azaria, Dan Castellaneta, Julie Kavner. People, you know, like, yeah, you were like Rhoda's sister, and now you're like, you've got more money than Rhoda ever had.
So that top of those changes in TV history, Fox becoming a network.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
We don't think about it now because now there's a million networks. But
what they had? They had Married with Children and The Simpsons.
That was Married with Children. Yeah.
The Simpsons. Tracy Ullman Show, which is since came out of.
Yep.
90210, and then they had 21 Jump Street.
Didn't Sam?
And for a little while, you had UPN.
UPN.
But they had a lot of like I think Regina King was on shows on that. She's everywhere now, you know.
Mm. Yeah, but that was a turning point, you know, because all of a sudden you had a fourth option,
a fourth, and maybe a fifth,
and you sometimes didn't have cable.
The CW showed up. You know, they were there for a little bit.
Yeah.
For a little bit. You know, a couple hours a week.
Yeah. And that was kind of the explosion of other networks, other channels, and then the cable thing just sort of kind of blew up. And we've all been, you know, we probably should kind of think about wrapping this thing up, but we started off with like, seven, eight channels back then.
Yep.
Your kids. On black and white TVs that had horrible reception, that you had to put an antenna on the top of the house, or you had rabbit ears on top
foil.
Of the TV.
Aluminum foil.
You had to get up, or no one talk, no one move, or the channel, the station's gonna fritz
out. Did you wear a tin hat when you watched those TVs?
And wear a tin hat.
And the best advice I ever got from my dad: never put a TV in the kids' rooms.
Well,
because when you send them to their room, you don't want them to go there.
That's right.
You know, I got a TV in my room. I'm out. No.
There was one TV in the house or two TVs if you were, you know, lucky. And then where are we now? You don't have a TV. You might not have a TV in your house anywhere because you have it on your phone.
Yeah.
You have an iPad. You have it on your computer. You have an infinite number of televisions in your
house. Well, that was me when we were away. I was on the couch watching the last three episodes of You're the Worst on my iPad. They were watching something else on TV. I had my headphones on. The kids are watching TikTok or YouTube or whatever the hell they're doing.
Whatever.
You know, I built I had the basement fixed and my one son is like, oh, I'd rather just lay in my room and watch TV on my phone. I'm like, what? Why?
The TV folks of that era, that era in the 50s, would not recognize television today.
No. And you know what? And our parents would roll over in our graves two or three times if they knew how much we paid for telecommunications on a monthly basis.
Yeah, it was free back then, right? You plugged it in. Well, and you bought the products.
Your phone and cable bill right now probably is a multiple of your parents' mortgage for their house.
It is a multiple of my parents',
you know, mortgage. And they would look at you and be like, you're idiots. Idiots.
Yeah.
I talked to my mom, and I think she said her mortgage was like $75 a month.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
For a house.
Yeah.
My dad bought two houses. I had two mortgages at the same time for 15 years. His monthly bill was $360 for two houses.
That's not even...
And you're paying that for five phones, probably for,
hey,
for you,
you
and,
know what?
And the kids, right? You're at the kids, right?
Yeah.
That is half of my property tax bill per month.
It's nuts.
Less than half. That's like 35% of our property tax bill for a month.
It's crazy. Amazing.
It's crazy
what television and telecommunications, as you say, Ange, has become. It we are. It's why we have a podcast about this, right?
Hey, but you know what, though? We couldn't do this without all that.
No.
We're the way we're talking right now. It's all one thing now. Mm-hmm. TV and radio used to be two different things, kind of in the same world, but they were different. Now it's all the same, whether it's Sirius XM or whether it's cable TV or whether it's streaming on your phone. It's all part of one big thing.
And you're 3,000 miles away and you're right here.
Well, guys, this was another barn burner. This was fun. It was fun going backwards a little bit and figuring out where we all came from television wise.
I just remember my father telling me all the time, Gilligan's Island will make your brain soft. Don't watch that show. Something wrong with that show.
Well, if that's the case. Then
whoever said
like
that
Jell-O.
TV was a bad idea, you know, for bad for kids.
It's a wasteland, right?
Screw them. I loved it. All right, guys, this is great. Episode 3 in the books.
So, dear listeners, again, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play or Google Podcasts, whatever they call that. Or listen to us on boozedancing.com. Boozedancing.com website. And once again, subscribe to those channels. And if you have any questions or comments for us, by all means, shoot us an email at boozedancing@gmail.com. We will gladly answer your questions. Is that
click.
It? Are we done?
Don't we hit the clicker now? Click.
Clicker? Is it a wired clicker?
Sure, why not? I remember the clicker was actually like, it was like a hard button you had to
push. It was an actual click.
Yeah, click.
Yeah. It was an actual click.
Yes. So click.
Click.
We're out.
All right, boys.
Say goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Goodnight, Dick.
Wait, who's Dick?
Laughing.